Yet once more. I want to teach you a Greek word. A Greek word that means time. And it's the word translated once. You know. It has to do with time, and it means only one time. And I choose that word because of a saying when God said, I will shake this earth yet once more. But there's also a promise in that. It means that's the last time it's going to happen, both the heaven and the earth. The word in the Greek is hapax, hapax. It doesn't mean once only. It means that there is a time related into this, a time frame even, if you would. And you're all familiar with it. This is going to be kind of old hat, but I felt it necessary that we cover it this afternoon. And I know many of you have to catch flights and so forth. I want everybody to be careful. I don't want to hear any of these reports back, you know, that we had an accident or something. I want all of you to be very careful. That'll fit on this tape, won't it? Really, take care of yourself. You're special. So don't be rushed. You take your time and get home in good shape. Hebrews chapter 12. We find it in the New Testament. It's a word that's used very few times in God's Word. Hapax. And I'm going to begin reading with verse 23 concerning our Father shaking one more time. I believe this will happen in and to this generation. At least let me correct myself, that the steps that lead into this will happen in and to this generation. Verse 23 of the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We ask a word of wisdom from our Father. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, that's you, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just or Zadok men, made perfect. Made perfect, why? Because of repentance, because of communion, because of our Passover. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. In other words, the blood shed by Christ is our Passover. The blood shed by Abel, of course, brought the Kenite into sin. And certainly started the controversy between Satan and God in the flesh. See that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if that escapeth, escaped, not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. That is to say, if the Holy Spirit speaks to you and wishes to speak through you, I would let him, all right? And I'm not talking about Mickey Mouse games here. I'm talking about as this day draws nearer, okay? You can read of it in Mark 13, verse 26. Whose voice then shook the earth. But now, hang on, but now he hath promised. I mean, you can count on it. You can put it in the bank, if I may use that terminology, saying, yet once more. That once is hapax. I mean, it's set. It's written in the book. It's going to happen. And there is a time. It will be the last time it happens. It's only going to be a one-time occurrence in this respect. Yet once more, I shake not the earth only. I mean, it's the only one that really got a rough shaking in Jeremiah chapter 4, but also heaven. We're going to clean house. And this word, what? This word. And the speaker, of course, was Yeshua Messiah, Jesus the Christ, through Paul. Yet once more, there we go again, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that is to say, created, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. what rock are you standing on? What is your house built upon? It had better be Christ. We're coming down to the final stretch. And when you turn into the final stretch, it's a race at that time. And you better know what you're doing. Focus on the Word. You're about to turn into that home stretch. 28. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. That's to respect Him. You know, we human beings can put Him out of our lives so easily when something important happens. And what's important? You better reevaluate what's important. For God is a consuming fire, and that He is. You know that the elements, that's the rudiments, are going to be burned. That's anything negative. So the least you have negative about you, the last that shall burn. Because He's going to clean house. Once more. Now, you should recognize that as a prophecy from an old prophet. He was quite a prophet, though. Haggai in the Minor Prophets. Let's turn there, right before the book of Zechariah. The book of Haggai. I'm going to pick it up with verse 6. There will be a few verses here that are very important to you today. I hope you can realize that and hang on to them. Focus in on them. Verse 6 of the second chapter of Haggai. In case it slips your mind, Haggai is the prophet that said, hey, what are you all doing building your own houses when God's house is laying waste over here? Because you see, you are part of God's house. God's temple is the many-membered body here in this end generation. So you want to focus on that. If you want God's blessings, you will. All right? That was Haggai the prophet's first job, was getting them back to work on the temple, which falls to us in this end time as an example. Verse 6, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. It's talking about the same thing because of hapax, as you'll have it in the Septuagint. Same thing. So it can only be one, for it's only going to happen by the time element one time. That's it. 7. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. That is Christ Himself. The Hebrew will verify this out in case you have a problem with it. Do it. And I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. And of course that would be the return of Christ and His kingdom. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. 9. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. You can have peace in your heart today if you're strong enough to believe, strong enough to not waver, strong enough to know what's really important in your life. And lean on Him, because that pleases Him. And His pleasure brings you blessings. Blessings of all sorts. Verse 10. In the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying. Now, I don't want to say too much about this, but this is an important date. It falls on about our December 2nd, all right? And I happen to know personally that this does apply to us in this generation. Verse 11. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priest concerning the law, saying. In other words, you go to the record and you check the law. Now, beloved, this is extremely important to you. I cannot impress on it enough. I wish I could have had something all jazzed up for you, but this is important, and you need to know because of the time. So, I know it's afternoon, and I know we've all eaten, but I want your attention. All right, listen. Ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread, or pottage, or wine, or oil, or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Now, I want to take a moment on this. The skirt of the garment is the apron, if you would, of a priest. And if the priest take meat that has been sacrificed on the altar and ready to be burned or whatever the case might be, if he carries this flesh in his apron, then is the apron holy? Yes, but if the apron touches something, then is it holy? This is important to you. And the answer is no. Leviticus bears this out. What we as a priest in the end times, and this does refer to us, what is our sacrifice? There was only one. Once was enough. Hebrews 10, the same word, hapax. Once, for one and all times, the sacrifice was the Lamb of God. You carry that sacrifice in your body, especially now it's fresh. You took communion this morning. If, then, you partake of it, the apron or container is holy. So you are holy. But if you, well, I'll go back to the apron. But if the apron came over and touched this fig leaf, would it be holy? No. So you take Christ into yourself, and it makes you holy, if that's possible. You understand what I'm saying. Man falls a little short of holy. I don't think it applies to anything but our Father. But in the old law, the word is still used, so we'll bear that in mind. I don't care how bad you want to save somebody. I don't care how great you may think you are. You can love Christ and you can take him into yourself, but you're touching or trying to force someone or something to be holy. Forget it. It won't happen. And you want to be mature enough that you realize that. This has to do with you planting a seed and then saying, oh, God, I've said everything in the world and it just didn't take. Well, poor baby. Poor baby. It's not supposed to necessarily. In our vessel, this earthly body, we carry Christ. And there is nobody holy enough that anything they touch turns holy. It just doesn't work that way. So you be relaxed and understand that you cannot save the world simply because you have a great deal of knowledge or spirit. Because as long as it's in your container, whatever you touch, I don't care what it is, it doesn't become holy. Now you can plant a seed, you can share a truth, you can set an example. The example might cause the leaf or we'll say person to change their ways, but they are the one that change, not it other than your seed planting, but the touch has nothing to do with it. That's the point I want to make. Because some people, when they come to the realization of God's election, they take seemingly a little more upon themselves than maybe they they think they have a great deal more than what they really have, is what I'm saying. You have a lot. Because when you take Christ into yourself, ye are holy. But you can't make something else holy. Now, there's a second part to this, and it's important, too. Why am I saying this? To discourage someone? No, to keep you from being disappointed. That's God's business. It's your business to plant seeds. And don't be hurt or disappointed if they don't take. That's none of your business. That's God's business. All right? Now, we have a second part to this. Verse 13. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body, this word body in the Hebrew is nephesh. How do you think it should have been translated? Should have been translated soul, right? Absolutely. If one that is unclean by a dead soul touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. And that's true. Naturally, it's playing, as you have all are familiar with, Ezekiel 44, where if you touch someone that is spiritually dead in the millennium, how long are you going to have to wait before you can go back to the throne to Christ? 7 days, you see. So, then what is a dead soul? Spiritually dead. Now, in that sense, my friend, you want to be very careful. Because the moment you touch one, you become unclean yourself. That's important. So, what does that mean exactly? Touch means to, in other words, if you were in a discussion and you begin to waver, and you favor the dead a little bit yourself, or give bad advice to the dead soul, then you're unclean. And is God going to bless you if you're... I mean, this can happen and you not even be aware of it if you're not careful, if you'll think real deeply for a moment. Many people wonder, why doesn't God bless me? Well, you don't deserve it. This can happen and rip you off from your blessings if you're not careful. You've got to focus on the Word of God and do it His way if you want His blessings. You've got to discern what is clean and unclean. What you can make clean and how you can get yourself polluted. I'll use that word. That's what it really means. Polluted. So, in other words, if you're not careful, you can lose a great deal. Let's document that. Okay? Verse 15. And now I pray you consider. This word in the Hebrew means you stop and you think. You meditate on this. From this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon the stone of the temple of God. And we have, in a many-membered body, we're seeing an enormous temple coming together by the hand of Almighty God, with His truth and His word at the heart of it. We're witnessing that. It's happening all around the world. That people are being drawn to the truth. And there's never been a day the same since the year of our Lord, 1981. Many of you have heard me say it. Mark this day, it's never going to be the same. It's going to continue changing. But if you touch these things, and if you think you have made something clean, what does that gain you in God's eyes? 16. This is how you get ripped off, friend, from your blessing. Since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. And when one came to the press fat, for to draw out 50 vessels, this would be of wine in the wine press, out of the press, there were but 20. In other words, you didn't harvest half what you thought you would. Why? You could be unclean. You could be thinking you're purifying a lot more than you are. And you need to be aware of it. It is for this reason that God cut them short. All right? That's important. because I swear to you, this pertains to us in this day. Well, that's quoting the old law. Not when you translate it to the spiritual as Paul brought it forward and made it part of the 12 chapters of Hebrews. Verse 17. Why did you fall short? I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail, and in all the labors of your hands, yet you turned not to me, saith the Lord. You didn't care enough to find out what was clean and unclean, and how that when you take father in yourself, that you just plant seeds and go on about your own business instead of wasting time with a failure. Think about it. Or with a failed project. You know, if something fails three times, wake up, smell the roses, get out, find a new way. God doesn't want that. And your wine press is going to get shorter and shorter and shorter. Think on it. Consider. I want you to be blessed. God wants you to be blessed. And certainly he's the one that matters, because I don't hand out blessings, he does. All right, that's where they come from. But that's the way you fall short. Who does it? God does. You know what mildew and blasting is, don't you? That's when you plant seed and work your back getting it all up there, and it should have really gone, but he doesn't send what it needed for it to be successful, because he wants you to be intelligent with the knowledge of his word, knowing where your parameters are, because you're focused in the word, and then you are blessed. Many are blessed today. But I think it's important of all things for you to have peace of mind and happiness, and that cannot come to fullness without God's blessings. And if something's wrong, you need to take a look at it. You need to reevaluate. What are you doing wrong? Well, look at this simple example. It has many applications. I could go into 100 analogies of different professions and so on and so forth. 18, consider, again, meditate on this. Now from this day and upward, from the 24th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Here's now, this has been building, and it's been blessed, and you need to be blessed along with it. You need to have that peace of mind. I don't know. Do you recognize success when you see it? Some people apparently do not, because they would prefer to go to some other way and still get blasted. It's all right. If you're unclean, you're unclean. You have to have a balance. Everything must be balanced, focused, and you must be disciplined. Do you know what the discipline I'm talking about? I'm not talking about correction. I'm talking about you disciplining yourself, that you spend so much time with the Father, meditating, thinking. And I'm going to tell you something. If you go into that with the attitude that I already know everything, I've read it through two times, I've taught it through I don't know how many times, and I sure don't know everything. Of course, I'm a little slow too, but you don't know everything. You must read with an open mind. It's terrible when adults should be able to catch a point in the Word of God that a fourth or a fifth grader that has had an open mind would pick up the point. You can prefix your mind where it's just sealed. It's so scarred that it's sealed to the new thoughts of God's Word. So be fresh. I'm not talking down to anyone. And I have no motive other than to have you receive blessings and peace of mind. Because probably I'm asked this question, why does God not bless me? I can't answer that question. I can only teach the reasons that we are not blessed. And I assure you, this cost God's election more blessings than any other method. Is by not following this. He is proud of you. He was proud of Job. Do you know what he expects out of you? Your love. He expects you to be disciplined where he can count on you, that you're going to tell him you love him and hold him in your heart. And you're going to be built on that rock that he knows he can shake the living daylights out of it, and you're not going to fall off. Did you hear what I said? He wants to know that he can shake that as hard as he wants to, and you are tried and you are tested, and you're not going to fall. You're going to hang on to the truth of God's Word and not some poop sheet by men, because that's what it is, a bunch of poop. Stay in God's Word. Nineteen. Is the seed yet in the barn? I guarantee you ours isn't. We pump it out of there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's yours. It's pumped out. It goes out to the world. It's a, yea, as yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. When you're building, he's going to bless you. And if you're not blessed, there's no excuse for it unless you're not disciplining yourself in the Word of God. You need to be blessed or something's wrong. Stop. Don't continue making the same mistakes all your life. Get out of usury as quick as you can. I know that in business and everything, we have to in certain instances. But the little things, hey, wouldn't you make payments to yourself? That's one of the downfallings. God doesn't like usury. And he expects you to be smarter than to get involved in it. Well, I'm under it so deep, I don't know how I would pull out. Well, don't you want God's blessings? You're not going to get them that way. How can he bless you when you're blessing the Kenites with 60% of your salary in usury? And I kind of wish I hadn't brought that particular thing up as an analogy of why is it sometimes we're not blessed. In a way, it's because we don't use this. You know, it's not because we've made some mistake concerning Christ's teachings. That's kind of stupidity. And we've all been there, so I want to be careful or I'm going to have... Is anybody walking out yet? No. Stop and think. Work, be your own boss and work for yourself. And I'm not talking about starting your own business. I mean, don't pay the Kenites. And I'm not saying that all usury goes to them, but it's the biggest, it's a big open trap, all right? And it's got signs all over it that says, "Welcome. Your character is so good. We want to send you 3 of our special credit cards." You know? And what a bargain. They're only 18% if you pay the second month. 24 only if it's the third. And people go, "They really like me." "Yeah, I'm going to send for that, boy." And it becomes money to them. Hey, that's not failing God's Word. That's, well, I don't want to say it. It is, though. All right. I'm just saying, it's a time I want you to be happy. And you should be. You really should be. If you'll think and use this, use common sense. All right. Get the seed out of the barn and plant it in the soil where it belongs. All right. And again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 4th and 20th day of the month, saying, "Speak to Zerubbabel, born in Babel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth." He's going to do it. "And I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms." They're going down. "And I will destroy the strength of the kingdoms of the heathen. And I will overthrow the chariots of those that ride in them, and the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother." They do it to each other. The whole world today, peace, peace, peace. And look at Bosnia. Look, you know, brother against brother. And of course, we can't say much, you know. 23rd, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, will I take thee, O Zerubbabel, that one born in Babel. In other words, you were born in Babel because you didn't know the truth of God's word when you were born. Neither did I. But we've come out of it. My servant, the son of Shealtiel, shall the Lord, saith the Lord, and will make thee as a signet, for I have chosen thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Do you know what a signet is? That's the king's ring. I mean, that's the signature at the bottom of the check. God says, that's kind of like saying, I'll let you write your own ticket. Well, beloved, that's kind of what he's done with Shepherd's Chapel. It really is. And hey, we don't take the credit for it. It's him. We're the only ministry I know of in this country that doesn't hurt for money. And yet, have you ever heard me beg? You know what I would call you if you said you had, because you haven't. I don't stoop that low. If God's word wasn't real, I wouldn't be living it anyway. You know what I mean? But it works. Pay attention to it. Stay focused and get off of a lot of the garbage that's beginning to float around. A signet means I give you the way and the authority to find that peace of mind and to build what I must build. You're a part, beloved, and praise God for it. In closing, 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to begin, you know, this is talking about the three earth ages and the three heaven ages, bearing in mind that the first heaven age and earth age are the same in the as far as age goes. The second heaven age, heavenly age, I'm really tired. You all have to excuse my tongue. It's not behaving very well. Of course, it really never does, so I guess it doesn't matter that much, all right? But the ages run consecutively, all right? We'll say it that way. Verse 8 of 2 Peter chapter 3, speaking of the shaking again, I want you to think about that once yet again, all right? Verse 8, but beloved, be not ignorant. Boy, now, you want to let this catch your ears. When God, through Paul, tells you to be not ignorant, that means whatever you do, you've been warned. Don't. For this one thing, of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now I want to ask you a question so that we synchronize our mind like we did all of our watches this morning. How long is one day with the Lord? 1,000 years. How long is 1,000 years? It's a millennium. Right? Remember that. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He's got all kinds of patience with us, and thank God for it. He'd have booted me out a long time ago. Not willing, it's not his will, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know they won't. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heaven shall pass away with a great noise. And the elements, that's rudiments, everything that's evil, shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. This is the shaking. Everything that isn't solid will be burned. God is a consuming fire. And that's why you want, if there was ever a time for you to discipline yourself and stay focused, if you don't want to, have you ever seen an old chicken that Granny plucked, you know, and then you know what we always did? We singed that sucker over a good fire, you know, to burn everything off of it. Hey, it's all going, friend. And if you want to picture yourself like that old chicken with all the bad stuff hanging out, I mean the fuzz, why did I pick this analogy? Lord. Lord. Whew. This is where God cleans the earth, all right? But as long as you are on that rock, Christ, you can't be shaken. It's a guarantee. It's your, if you want to talk about Social Security, this is the real Social Security. And it's coming, all right? It's even here. Verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, that's the evil things, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? You should be disciplined and focused in God's Word and not be listening to trash. All right? What do I call trash? Well, it could be anything that you're substituting for God's Word. That's idol worship. Do you want me to say that again? Anything you substitute as a religion or a study guide instead of studying God's Word is idolatry. Now, I know some are going to misunderstand that, and they're going to misquote me on that. You can read anything in the world you want to along with God's Word if you're studying God's Word. But if you replace God's Word with men's trash, a lot of groups, you know what I'm talking about. I don't have to explain it past that point, okay? Shape up, or you're going to get shipped out. That's what he's telling you, all right? There's a shaking coming once more, and it's final. 12, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God. Whoa! What'd that say? That said the day of God. It didn't say the day of the Lord. Wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Well, we got the Lord's day up in 10. We got God's day down there. Well, if a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, we're talking about the millennium. That's what the Lord's day is, and it is coming. It lasts 1,000 years. And we got a lot of work to do in that day. And then comes God's day. That is to say, God de facto returns to this earth when it's really cleansed. I mean, that's when you've singed everything off that should be singed off. All right? Then you're getting down to the good stuff. So think about it. Consider, you should be really blessed if you're not. Figure out why. Because it can be fixed real easy. God loves you. Spend some time, if you have to, researching it. It's pretty hard for us sometimes to research ourselves. If I ever have stuff going bad wrong and I can't figure out where what I'm doing that may not be pleasing, all I have to do is ask Anna. You know, she'll tell me. Right away she'll tell me. So maybe sometimes you can use a little help, you know, by communication and get your problems worked out whereby you can receive God's blessings, because they are good. They are wonderful. I am so happy with the temple that God is building and still building that goes up into the thousands on top of thousands on top of thousands. He's doing it. And he expects you to be happy within that. Verse 13, nevertheless, did we get 12 looking? Yeah, we did. 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, you can count on it, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Everything. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. This without spot isn't so much to our little habitual sin. No, I don't want to use that word habitual because it'll be misunderstood. Little sins that don't amount to a hill of beans, and I'll get called on that. But in God's eyes, there is a difference in sin. For you to sin against the Holy Ghost is unforgivable. So don't ever try to tell me there isn't a difference. Therefore, anytime you sin against God's Word, calling something clean when it's really unclean, and don't know the difference, you're not going to be blessed. I mean, that's serious stuff with Him, is when you start trying to worship or find religion in a different place than in Him. And at the same time, you must see that you yourself do not get so involved in it that you become a religion within yourself. Think about that. But know humbly that He is Lord. I feel like something good is about to happen, and I want it to happen to all of you. I hope that no one takes this as a dressing or anything like that. It isn't at all. That's not the intent. It's that you receive blessings, all right? That you find that happiness. Because I don't want to see Satan rob you of it. Satan can just really saw the floor right out from under you, and you are one of God's elect. You deserve better. So, therefore, we discipline ourselves and continue in His Word. It's a little longer than I intended to keep you, but I'm going to go one or two more verses anyway. Wherefore, believing, seeing that we look for such things, be diligent, that's careful, that you may be found of Him without spot and blameless, as we said, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And he had many times. And also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, Paul mentioned them many times, book of Hebrews especially, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen is right. So, God loves you, and He wants to give you a good crop, all right? And I know that he does. He blesses us a lot. It's just that occasionally, when we come to this semester, I'm going to call it, when we come to this semester, it's time to not make mistakes. And don't you ever, ever let me hear one of you saying, "Oh, please, Satan, leave me alone." Don't ever let me hear one of you say that. To say please to Satan shows weakness. You have power over him. Get him out of your life. Don't let him woolly you around and mislead you. Be strong, be bold. Say please to our Father, for His will be done. But to ask Satan please shows a servitive attitude, like you're his servant, and you're not. You take names and kick dragon, you understand? We don't take a back seat to anybody when it comes to dealing with Satan. You simply make quick work out of it. Well, I'm going to stop. I love you all. And you know what? It's been a great time. It has.